Last week, we continued our study on Joseph, and I wasn't the preacher, but Brian was, and he was focusing attention upon chapter 42 of Genesis. And it's in this section that we find that Joseph's brothers came to visit him from Egypt. It wasn't a social visit, it was a business trip, because the brothers were there to get some food. You know the story about how that the Egyptians had 7 years of fantastic crops, in which Joseph, who was the overseer at this time, saved 20% of all the crops in storehouses so that they would be prepared for the time of 7 years of famine. And God orchestrated this. God planned it out, and he was doing his work in a very special way, for a very special purpose, in my opinion. Brian mentioned that he did not know why the Joseph started to change his demeanor when the brothers came. It seemed as though he was very harsh on them. In fact, someone called him, boy, Joseph sure was a jerk at this point. I disagree. That I don't think Joseph was a jerk at this point. But there's something that's going on that we often miss. And I'd like to explain what's going on, that in my opinion. You recall, Joseph was sold by his brothers to be a slave to the Midianites. And there was a reason that they had. They were angry at Joseph. The reason was, he had this dream, two dreams actually, that he was going to rule over them. And they didn't take to that very well. And in addition to that, Jacob made Joseph his favorite son. Rachel was his favorite wife, and Joseph was his favorite son. He had him made a special cloak that wore, that indicated that he was the superior son. He was the one who's going to be over the other sons. Well, they hated him for that. And they got to the point, they just were so angry that when they saw him, he was miles away from home. In fact, Joseph went to visit his brothers under the order of his father, so that to check out how the brothers are doing and also how the herds are doing. Well, they took that as an advantage and grabbed him, took him that special coat off, and they were going to kill him. But then Reuben was the oldest son, and he was the one who stepped up. Whenever the father is absent, the oldest son is to be the one responsible. And he determined, no, we're not going to kill Joseph. Instead, let's put him in this pit. And so that they agreed with that. And his goal was to, when the other brothers were not around, he was going to take Joseph out of the pit and deliver him back to his father. But then he was away, and Judah stepped in when he saw the Midianites coming by, and he said, hey, he's our brother. We don't need to kill him. Let's just sell him as a slave. Fine brotherly love there. And so they pulled him out of the pit and sold him as a slave, and Reuben came back, and he was dismayed. Well, you know the story of how they used goat's blood to put blood on that tunic, and as a result, their father thought Joseph was dead. Well, Joseph, as you know, had challenges in Egypt, and now he is seeing his brothers, 10 brothers, not Benjamin, 10 brothers come in. It has been approximately 18 or 19 years. Now, the last time he saw his youngest brother, Benjamin, Joseph was 17 and Benjamin was 8. That means, and by the way, the brothers, other brothers were away, so you can imagine, Joseph and Benjamin got along quite well, big brother and little brother, and they did a lot of things together, I expect. And there was a special love because they had a common mother. Now, what happened was Joseph hadn't seen his brother at all. He saw them all, and now he's setting the stage, because remember, he was sold because they were jealous that he was the favorite son. If Joseph is gone now, Jacob's favorite son is gone, guess who becomes the favorite son? Benjamin. Benjamin is the second son of Rachel and Jacob. And so now Joseph knows that Benjamin is the favorite son. And if the brothers treated Joseph with hostility because he was the favorite son, Joseph is concerned that the brothers are treating Benjamin with hostility because now he's the favorite son. And this whole scenario, in my opinion, is to see if these brothers will rally around Benjamin or will they throw him under the bus as they did with Joseph. So we are now in Genesis chapter 42. The brothers have gotten some money, they brought some money to purchase the grain, and they did purchase the grain, but Joseph was harsh. He told them that they were spies. Four times he told them they were spies, and a spy from another government, and that's what he accused them of being, if a spy would be executed. So he imprisoned them all for 3 days. When that happened, then they got and recognized that this man, this prime minister of Egypt, is serious. He then frees them all, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. To prove that you're honest men, he asked specific questions, and he found out that the father was still alive, and they had one more brother. Here's to prove that you are honest men and not spies. Here's what I want you to do. I'll let 9 of you go home with the food. Let your donkeys are laden with this food to save your families from starvation. And I'm going to keep one. It's probable he would have kept Reuben as the oldest, but he learned, because he still understood Hebrew and they were talking Hebrew and they right in front of him, and Reuben had said, didn't I tell you we shouldn't have sold our brother? We shouldn't have, didn't we hear his distress signals or is what he's crying out? And so Joseph now knew that Reuben was not part of the conspiracy. So he took the next oldest brother, and that's Simeon, and tied him up in front of them and incarcerated him to make sure that they would come back. And when they were coming back, they had to bring their younger brother. The focus now is upon Benjamin. That's the whole purpose of this. He's not trying to be mean to them, but he knows they need to be rally around Benjamin. But he also knows his dad's not going to let him come. His dad has a problem too, showing favoritism. So all this is now, what he's doing is to see what they're going to do with Benjamin. So they have their, 9 of them now are going to be heading back. Simeon is incarcerated, and Joseph gave orders in verse 25 of Genesis 42. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to restore every man's money in his sack, and give them provisions for the journey, and thus it was done for them. So they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed from there. One of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place. He saw his money, and behold, it was in the mouth of the sack. Then he said to his brothers, my money has been returned. Behold, it was even in my sack. And their hearts sank, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is this that God has done to us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, they did not know what was going on. Many times we don't know what is going on. But Lord, you're in control. And we see you, your hand in this at this point. They did not, but we do. And we ask, oh God, you'd open up our hearts and minds that we might understand how this applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. They are already accused of being spies, and now they might be accused of being thieves. Say, oh, what has God done to us? I'll tell you what God has done to them. God has shown them grace. It's grace through Joseph, but God has shown them grace. They thought they were going to purchase this life-giving grain so they would be able to live in the land of Canaan. But they could not purchase it. Joseph gave them their money back and gave them the grain that they need. It's a reminder, you and I do not deserve God's grace. But God gives us grace again and again and again. They thought God had abandoned them or God was not in control of the situation in Egypt. And sometimes we think God is out of control, especially when we're facing difficulties. And they are facing a situation they do not know how to solve. How do we get our brother back? How are we going to get Benjamin up here so we can get him back? And so now they feel God is the one who's punishing us. Sometimes we think God is punishing us when God is not punishing us at all. God is changing something in our lives for good. When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the Lord of the land, spoke harshly with us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more.'" Of course, that would be Joseph. They would have thought that Joseph is dead. "One is no more, and the youngest is with our father today in the land of Canaan. The man, the Lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me. Take grain for the famine of your household and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will give your brother to you, and you may trade in the land.'" He's made the situation clear. You don't come back without your younger brother. Came about as they were emptying their sacks that, behold, every man's bundle of the money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were dismayed. The father Jacob said, "You have bereaved me of my children." If only he knew about Joseph. He didn't. But Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. He thought Simeon was captured and killed. You would take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Were they? All these things were for him. God orchestrated the famine for Jacob to go to Egypt so Israel would become a great people. Abraham, God told Abraham years earlier, that they were going to go and be in a foreign land for 400 years. God is orchestrating this. God is for Jacob, not against him. And sometimes we don't see the big picture. They did not, and they could not. We cannot sometimes. But just remember, God is not against you. All these things are not against you. They're for you. If God is God, and He is, His word is true. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This was working for Jacob's good, he and his family. All these things are against me. No, they're for him. When you're facing difficult times, and it seems as all things are against you, hang on to the fact that God is sovereign, and He loves you dearly, and He's working this out, maybe to correct some things. Jacob had to be, there's some corrections. And maybe working some things in his brothers, we know he's doing that. They need to work some things out. But God's working it out, and He will bring about what is good. Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "You may put my two sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my care, and I will return him to you." Reuben wanted to go back and rescue his brother Simeon right away. He wanted to prove to the man, "You do it, give him and entrust him to me, and you can kill my two sons." Well, they were Jacob's grandsons. He would not kill them. But Reuben wanted to, and by the way, he was doing the proper thing as the oldest brother. He said, I'll be responsible. Just give and trust your Benjamin to me, and I'll go get Simeon out of jail, and we'll come back. But Jacob said, my son shall not go down with you. His brother is dead, and he alone is left. He's the only one left of his favorite wife, Rachel. If harm should come to on your journey, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow. In other words, he's going to die. If something happens to Benjamin, he's going to die. Brokenhearted. Well, Reuben tried. Now, the famine was severe in the land. So it came about when they had finished eating the grain which had been brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. You can imagine how they were. We all like to eat three meals a day. Some of you are probably hungry right now for lunch. But it's not the time to eat yet. We've got to finish the sermon. But we generally eat every day. And can you imagine the portions getting smaller and smaller and smaller for Jacob and the brothers and their families? And here you can imagine how mothers would feel. They don't have enough food for their little ones. They're doing all they can to stretch the food budget, but it's not working. They're running out of food. It's a harsh situation. And sometimes God has to use harsh situations to get our attention. It's not our choice, but he has his plan. He knew that Jacob would not let Benjamin go without the harsh situation. And so now there's this harsh situation. Judah now steps up, says, the man solemnly warned us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. In other words, if we go back to get food and Benjamin is not with us, he will, because he thought he was the prime minister, was an Egyptian, he didn't know it was Joseph. If that's the case, and we go back there without Benjamin, the man's going to say, yes, see, I told you you were spies, and he will execute us. Now, he's not saying that, but that's what would happen if he was truly convinced they were spies. And they didn't prove it by bringing Benjamin. So he knows it's their lives probably going to be lost. But so he says, we won't go down. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy your food. But if you do not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. They got the message when they were incarcerated for 3 days. They got the message when Joseph had Simeon bound before their eyes and then carted off to jail. They got the message, this man means business. We will not go back there without Benjamin. And Jacob is so frustrated, he says, why in the world did you even tell him you had another brother? Well, he asked specific questions. We just honestly answered them. We didn't know that he was going to have Benjamin come. He's defending. He said in verse 8, Judah said to his father, send the lad with me. We will arise and go that we may live and not die, we as well as you and our little ones. It is that serious. Starvation is set in. I myself will be surety for him. You may hold me responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. If we had not delayed, surely we would already been there and back the second time. You see, Judah was the one who persuaded his brothers to sell Joseph. And now Judah is the one who's saying, I will become surety for Benjamin. Now, guess who is trying to protect the favorite son? The very one who instigated the selling of Joseph. What Joseph's done is working. They're rallying around the favorite son. Instead of hostility, there's protection. We've got to protect Benjamin. What they did not do with Joseph. And so then their father Israel said, it's really bad situation, because if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products from the land, in your bags, present, a little balm, a little honey, aromatic gum, which is would be a, some sap that is used for perfume, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. All of these are products that are not made in Egypt. Take double the money of your hand, take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also, arise and return to the man. This man, Jacob, had Joseph and was not going to turn him loose. Some parents refuse to let their children grow up. They're going to be under their thumb all the time. And what is the responsibility of a parent? To train up the child in the way he should go, to prepare him for life, to help him mature so he's able to make wise decisions and release him at the right time, protect him as a child, as he's grown up, guide them as they become a youth, and finally be willing to let them go. I believe Benjamin is probably around 24, 25, maybe even a little bit older by now, and yet he's never left the eyesight of his dad. He's always been around. Since Joseph left, he will not let Benjamin go. And I believe he has prevented Benjamin from growing up. And Jacob had some growing up too. He had to be able to turn him loose. And he turns him loose. Take your brother also. And he says a prayer. And may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, that he may release you and your other brother and Benjamin. And then he says this, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. He recognizes now, I cannot hang on any longer. The man demands Benjamin. And it's such a bad situation here, I got to let him go so we can have some food. So when the men took this present, they took double the money in their hand and Benjamin. Then they rose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Finally, they're bringing Benjamin. And there's some more things we're going to be talking about next week, about how Joseph arranges a situation so that they have to rally around Benjamin as a family. And then Joseph reveals who he is. But that's next week. I'd like you to notice what he's doing. The men came and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. They stood before the man. Every one of us, when our life ends here in this land of Canaan, and we go to the Lord, we too will stand before the man. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus is not going to keep us out of heaven because he's paid for our sins at the cross. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are dealt with at the cross. He's given you the gift of eternal life. But he has not taken you yet. And we're supposed to live our lives for him, for God, today, each day. And if we do, God takes note. God knows what we do each day. And when we stand before him, he will give us rewards for our work for him, or lack of rewards. What God wants us to do is to obey him and follow him, seek his will and do it. What is our will? What is God's will? Well, for one thing, we know what God's will is when we fulfill our responsibilities. Each of us has responsibilities, God-given responsibilities. Parents, grandparents, children. We fulfill our responsibilities. That's God's will. Then there may be some other things God puts upon your heart. Responsibilities. It's my responsibility to proclaim the word of God. I'm to do that. And when I do that, I'm in God's will. But every day, we have opportunities to live for Christ. And I don't know what your schedule is, but in every one of our lives, there are situations where we can be used by God. And I challenge you, ask God to make your appointments for you today and other days too. And ask God to arrange the circumstances so that you can be sensitive when the Holy Spirit's at work. That if you need to talk to somebody, that he'll give you the words. It may be that you'll meet somebody casually, or you'll learn something about needing someone needs a visit. You ask God to make your appointments for you, he'll make them. And then he'll give you the words to say, to be an encouragement, maybe to tell someone about Jesus. Maybe someone is discouraged and you can say a word of encouragement. God knows how to use each one of us, where we are, who we are. He loves us and he wants to use us. So ask God, Lord, make my appointments for me today and use me as you wish. And then when you get a chance to talk, God, you're going to have to put words in my mouth. Because none of us start off knowing what to say to someone else about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit knows how to use us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunities you give to us. Thank you that even the harsh times are used by you for your glory, but also for our good. All things do work together for good. We see this in what happened with Joseph and his brothers. Sometimes we don't see it in our own lives, but you're at work here too. And thank you, Father, that you care about us. And we thank you for the privilege we have of serving you, living for you here, and living with you there. In Jesus' name, amen.